Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once more. And in this video, I'm going to be discussing Armenia's position in the Russo-Ukrainian conflict. So Armenia abstained in the United Nations on the Russia-Ukraine war when it kicked off on the 24th of February, 2022. So in case you didn't know, Armenia is a fairly small country in the Caucasus Mountains. It is landlocked. It's adjacent to Azerbaijan, its mortal foe, Georgia, Turkey, and Iran. So it's an erstwhile Soviet republic. Armenia speaks it's a unique language. They've got a Suigenerous alphabet as well. It's the first officially Christian country in the world. But it hasn't been independent in a long time, apart from a very brief period right after the First World War, and then again, 1991. But prior to that, it was part of, Iranian Empire and the Russian Empire, really. And the Ottomans conquered most of historic Armenia. If you go back to the early Middle Ages, actually quite large, and ruled from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. So there are only 3 million people in Armenia. Now, it has very few natural resources, and being bereft of wealthy resources, valuable resources, it's obliged to rely on trade. And so there are famous Armenian merchants all over the world. I've seen Armenian churches in Singapore and India and so on. And there's a small Armenian community in Iran, been there for centuries. Of course, looking back to the 1915, they suffered the genocide at the hand of the Ottoman Empire. And about 2 million of them were killed, which proportionally might be even higher than the Holocaust, maybe more than a third of all the Armenians in the world killed in the space of about 3 years. But going back to the Republic of Armenia, it's not an affluent country at all. It's heavily reliant on trade with Russia. There are a lot of Armenians who are guest workers in Russia. They integrate quite well, and they often become Russian citizens. And there are over a million people in Russia who are of part Armenian descent, but in some cases a quarter or an eighth. Indeed, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, he, for example, is half Armenian on his mother's side. They're born in Moscow. I don't think he can speak the language. So what else about Armenia? Well known for its brandy, but it really needs Russia. It's part of the CSTO, Collective Security Treaty Organization, Russia's military alliance. And it's been fighting on and off since 1991 against Azerbaijan for Nagorno-Karabakh, this disputed area, which is legally Azerbaijani, but ethnically it was almost exclusively, well, it was largely Armenian when Armenia took it in the early 90s. Became almost exclusively Armenian. Then the Azerbaijanis took most of it back in 2020. Azerbaijan is, of course, the sister nation of Turkey. So Armenia's got this complex relationship with its neighbors. It's got a cordial relationship with Iran. Part of the enemy, my enemy is my friend, because of historic border disputes between Iran and Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan has cozied up to Israel. Of all the Muslim countries in the world, it's got to be the friendliest with Israel. Armenia, therefore, has had to forge an alliance with Iran. Iran's a Shia Muslim country, so is Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is resolutely secular. Iran's a theocracy. And as I say, Armenia is a Christian country. But anyway, so coming back to this, it trades a lot with Russia. Armenia exported $1.2 billion worth of goods to Russia in 2022 and imported $3.8 billion. So that's just how much they rely on them. But in 2022, an awful lot of Russians moved to Armenia, and this influx was mostly people seeking to avoid conscription when there was that mobilization in September and October last year. So the Armenians, forgive me, are very happy about this influx because their population was falling otherwise. So that has been a fillip to the economy. Russia is discontent with Armenia, saying it's neutral with regard to the Ukrainian conflict. There are very few Ukrainian refugees have gone to Armenia. It's not a wealthy country. It's actually quite cheap to live there. So besides Belarus, it's probably the most pro-Russian country there is, but it's not actually adjacent to Russia. So it's really for security reasons as well as economic grounds that it's so dependent on Russia. And of course, they've got Armenia. Armenia's got Turkey to its west, and the Russians are there controlling that border. Turkey, of course, being a NATO country. So Russia's happy to have leverage in the South Caucasus by having this frozen conflict there. Remember, they're Russian peacekeepers in the Lachin Corridor in between Azerbaijan and Armenia, supposing to allow the Azerbaijanis to transit Armenia to get through to Nakhchivan, this Azerbaijani exclave. There are only 2,000 Russian peacekeepers. Even some of them were withdrawn to fight in Ukraine. And the Armenians have been complaining that Russia's not been doing its bit. And the Azerbaijanis blocked a road for weeks, claiming it's about their environmental activists. People say, well, they're just Azerbaijani soldiers out of uniform. Azerbaijan does not tolerate any peaceful protests. And the Armenians can't get food or indeed medicines to people because of it, because this road has been blocked. So the Prime Minister of Armenia is Nikol Pashinyan. He took office in a bloodless revolution in 2018. He's a journalist. He's not from sort of business elite. He's not, you know, an apparatchik or anything like that. And he's the most Occidental orientated of all their leaders they've ever had. And he wants to make the country really independent, but it's just still just so economically dependent on Russia. And he's been very public about saying he's unhappy that Russia hasn't supported Armenia when Azerbaijan attacks Armenia proper, not just Nagorno-Karabakh. And the Ruski say we will not help with Nagorno-Karabakh because that is Azerbaijani sovereign territory, which we recognize as Azerbaijani. And the Russians don't want to hack off the Azerbaijanis, partly because they want their cooperation, but more importantly, because that would then irk Turkey, which, as I said, is like the big brother of Azerbaijan. So anyway, some of the opposition parties in Armenia are castigating the MyStep Alliance, that's the ruling party, for not being more resolutely pro-Moscow. So, but Russia dare not be supportive of Armenia in return for a greater fealty, because, of course, as I pointed out, the Russians feel they can ill afford to anger Azerbaijan and Turkey. Because remember, Turkey, as I pointed out, is the only NATO member state there is which hasn't introduced any anti-Russian sanctions, any trade restrictions, anything. It's still trading normally, just like Azerbaijan. So they don't want to lose that conduit to world markets. Armenia has seen that Georgia's attempts over the past decade or so, well, more than that, really, to become a pro-Western country, eventually get the European Union, have not got them very far. They've got candidate status for the European Union membership, but that's it. And indeed, the Georgian government currently is more amicable with Russia than any Georgian government for since about 2004, since the overthrow of Edvard Shevardnadze. So anyway, the president of Armenia, that's Vahagan Khachaturian. So he holds this figurehead position, and I'm not quite sure what his stance is on things. So Mikhail Mishustin even said in public last year that Armenia is very helpful in allowing us to get around these illegal sanctions. Well, they're not illegal. But anyway, he let the cat out of the bag. So at least it's a way for Armenia to make money. But again, they don't want to irritate the Western world too much, or, you know, that there'd be sanctions against them. But there is sympathy for Armenia. They're in an invidious position. There's a small but very influential Armenian diaspora community in the United States, an Armenian diasporic community in France, likewise. And then there was Ruben Vardanian, who's this Russian-Armenian billionaire. He's been sanctioned as well. And he went so far as to tell the British Broadcasting Corporation that Armenia is a means by which Russia is able to circumvent sanctions. So the trade between them increased quite a lot. So there's a lot of parallel imports going on. So, those 400,000 Russians who came to Armenia, that's produced mixed feelings. They brought money with them. Some have gone back to Russia, but it's driven rents up and stuff like that. And you could get Armenian citizenship fairly easy. So a lot of Russian businesses were set up in Armenia in 2022. But the Armenians, they've really got no alternative but to be supportive of Russia. And the United States already introduced sanctions on some Armenian entities, which it said were facilitating sanctions evasion. And the things that the Russians want to be ordered via Armenia are telecommunication equipment, microchips, transponders, all the usual stuff. Anything high-tech IT. But the sanctions could actually make Armenia even more pro-Russian. Now, Azerbaijan's been a little bit helpful to Ukraine in non-military aid, generators, free fuel and stuff like that. And remember, Western countries, they dare not offend Azerbaijan because buying oil and gas for them is crucial if the West is going to reduce its energy dependence on Russia. So, and Armenia doesn't have such a bargaining chip like that. So it's quite a corrupt country, so not a great place to set up a business. Thanks for watching my video. Goodbye.